Paid for by Christian Care Ministry.
You know, a lot of times you have to choose between something high quality or something that saves you money. But if you could get both, why not? Especially when it comes to health care, and that is MediShare. You get both. Many families save $500 a month with MediShare, and that's huge. But it's also true that people wind up way more satisfied, too. The member satisfaction rate for MediShare is double that of the typical health insurance plan. Double. That's because MediShare works. It has for more than 30 years. It's a community of Christians who have shared more than $5 billion of each other's bills. People love having telehealth. They love the huge PPO network. So, yeah, really, you can save a ton and like it better. Imagine being happy with how you're taking care of your health care. So if you're self-employed or part of the gig economy, or you just want a plan you're happy with, you can call right now and get a price in 2 minutes. Here's the number. Just call 844-53-BIBLE. That's 844-53-BIBLE, 844-53-BIBLE.
You're listening to WRDN, 1430 AM, Durand Mondovi, Wabasha, and 107.3 FM, Translator W297CH, Durand.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. The latest ABC News Ipsos poll shows a statistically tied race between former President Trump and Vice President Harris. They both campaigned today in Pennsylvania. Meanwhile, former President Bill Clinton was in another swing state, Georgia, on Harris's behalf.
But don't forget, they'll be better off if you win, and you won't be better off if they win.
North Carolina continues recovery from Hurricane Helene. Authorities in Rutherford County say they've arrested a man, charged him with going armed to the terror of the public. They say he was allegedly heard making threats about harming FEMA employees working in the area. He was arrested with a rifle and handgun. Progress in recovery in Florida from Hurricane Milton, where Governor Ron DeSantis is about 97% of power outages have been restored. U.S. Embassy in Beirut telling American citizens to leave Lebanon now as Israel expands military operations. This is ABC News. A deaf black man in Phoenix who also has cerebral palsy is planning on suing the city after a violent arrest.
This is what it sounded like on Phoenix police body-worn cameras in August when Tyrone McAlpin was thrown to the ground by officers investigating a disturbance at a convenience store. Man pointed to McAlpin and police tackled him, punched him, and tasered him, giving him commands. But McAlpin is deaf and has cerebral palsy. His attorney claims he had no idea what was going on. Surveillance video indicates he was not the suspect. Phoenix police are investigating the arrest. Alex Stone, ABC News.
DOJ has found that Phoenix police officers have used excessive force, racial bias, and have violated the rights of people with disabilities. A Sherpa from Nepal is now the youngest person to scale 14 of the world's highest peaks. The 18-year-old broke a record set by another Sherpa who was 30 years old at the time. I'm Brian Clark, ABC News.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams Fall Sale and get 30% off paints and stains from October 11th through the 21st. With prices starting at $34.29, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your bedroom, living room, or home office, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Shop the sale online or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Come on in to Total Wine & More. Prices much lower than a grocery store. Spirits, wine, beer for a whole lot less. Walking down the aisles makes you stop and say, yes! From mixing cocktails, a friendly get-together, or a brunch outdoors, Total Wine has everything you need. And more. With the lowest prices and best selection for over 30 years, you'll always find what you love and love what you find. Only at Total Wine & More.
Drink responsibly, B21.
Wisconsin Radio Network News, I'm Tad Aylin. Fatal shooting at a Milwaukee youth football game. Milwaukee Public Schools says it happened during a youth flag football game Saturday afternoon on the city's south side. The stadium was cleared while police took a 47-year-old man struck by the gunfire to a hospital where he later died. Milwaukee police are looking for a suspect after initially taking a 37-year-old man into custody, but later determining he wasn't connected to the homicide. A Janesville business is defending itself from allegations of repeated federal safety violations. Universal Recycling Technologies President Ken Thomas responds to claims that OSHA inspections in April of 2023 and April of last year found employees were exposed to unsafe levels of lead and cadmium while dismantling cathode ray tubes from older TVs. Thomas says the firm has been working for nearly a year to address the issue.
And over the last 18 months, we've invested well over $150,000, put a lot of man hours, and have been bringing in outside consultants to design and put in place engineering controls that will get to the root cause of the air quality within our facility.
Thomas says he was surprised when OSHA levied more than $200,000 in fines. Wisconsin hospitals are contending with a shortage of IV fluids after Hurricane Helene hit a Baxter International plant in North Carolina that produces much of the nation's supply. Wisconsin Hospitals Association President and CEO Eric Borgerding says every member is affected.
And taking various measures to conserve the supplies that they have on hand and stretch it as far as they can until Baxter or other alternatives can be stood up and made available.
Bergerding says that includes some surgical postponements.
Have you outgrown your health insurance plan? The number one reason we all change our health insurance is price. Are you paying too much for your health insurance? Would you like to have better coverage at a better rate? Take a few minutes right now and find out if you can save money or even qualify for zero-cost health insurance in your state. Call now.
800-693-9308. 800-693-9308. That's 800-693-9308.
Here's your Real Country 1430 forecast.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlau. Crisp and cool today as we sit under a mix of sun and clouds as high temperatures reach the low 50s. Winds are pulling out of the northwest and scattered showers are possible this afternoon, but we quickly clear on out and drop cold overnight, allowing for frost by morning. Grandpa's barbecue sauce, made in small batches from Grandpa's original recipe. Get yours now at grandpasbbqshop.com. Currently, it's 45.
It was a tough start to the week for most commodities. Wheat futures led corn to the downside, and sharply lower trade in soybean oil futures was too much for the bean market to ignore. Cotton prices sharply lower, live cattle mostly higher. Feeder cattle were mixed, and lean hog futures saw some hefty profit taking.
Live, pulling the ripcord on this week's coverage via Farm Journal broadcast, this is AgriTalk. This afternoon, we begin with a conversation with Pat Von Tersch from Professional Ag Marketing. Later, Kerry Artak from Artak Advisory and WickedStocks.com. And directly following the news, Jack Scoville from the Price Futures Group. I'm handsome newsman Davis Michelson, and now here's the host of AgriTalk, Chip Laurie.
All right, Davis. Hey, thank you so much, and welcome to AgriTalk. Glad that you are with us on this Monday afternoon. How's the weekend, pal?
Really good. Really good. An exciting, exciting, busy Friday night for the wife and I, and then 2 days of recovery. It worked out just perfect. The math all lined up, my brother.
Love it. I love it. You know, when it takes 2 nights to recover, or 2 days mm-hmm. to recover from a Friday night, that's got to be a heck of a good Friday night.
It's a good night. It was a good night. You betcha.
Good.
You betcha. How about
good.
You?
Love it. Spent some time with my boy on the Mississippi this weekend doing some duck hunting.
Love that. Love that.
Yeah.
How's the river look, by the way?
It was
all right.
Yeah. Okay. It's up a little, but it's not what I would call good.
Okay.
I wouldn't even call it good for barge traffic.
Would you call it poor to very poor?
I might call it poor to very poor. At least poor. I'd call it poor for barge traffic. Now I did see a barge loaded up and headed down river, so that was a good sign. It's good to see some of this year's big bean crop up here in northeast Iowa making its way down the river. At least I would assume that it was soybeans loaded there at Clayton, Iowa. So
very good.
All right. We've got a heck of a good show for you today. We've got Jack Scoville coming up here in just a minute or two. Then Pat Von Tersch from Professional Ag Marketing. And at the end of the show, we'll talk to Kerry Artak. I believe it was another new intraday high in the equity trade today, but that didn't do anything to help out the commodity markets. They were under pressure from the dollar and from the energy markets is what it looks like.
Yep.
All right, man, let's get to the news. What do you got?
Well, Chuck, December soft red winter wheat futures opened slightly lower and firmed to spike resistance at $6 before falling back and ending the day on session lows. Today's close was the lowest since September 30 and was the first below short-term uptrending support. Chart watchers are looking for a test of support at the September 25 low of 573. The potential for rain in the winter wheat production areas of Russia, Ukraine, and Kazakhstan put pressure on wheat prices, but forecasters warn the forecast calls for just temporary relief from dry conditions there. December HRW wheat futures 14.5 cents lower today at 590. December SRW wheat down 13.75 to 585.25. December spring wheat closed down 17.25, 626.5 on your settlement there, Chip.
Yeah, let me check that for you. Yeah.
Yeah.
The September down 17.25. Good grief.
Yeah, that's painful.
That was a tough day in that spring wheat market. You know, we're constantly reminded not to make too much out of one day's trade in the dollar and the impact that it will have on the grain commodities. But the dollar is 400 points higher today. That had to put the ag commodities on the defensive.
For sure. Well, Chip, wheat futures helped to drag corn prices lower after trading just slightly lower at mid-morning. December corn, however, did gap lower and firmed to fill the gap before turning back to the downside. The low-range close was the lowest since September 20 and clearly violated support at the uptrend from the August lows. The rapid harvest pace in the U.S. and the forecast calling for mostly clear harvest conditions in the Corn Belt through the end of the week clearly has the corn market on the defensive. Traders also pointed to the outside markets with energy futures lower and the U.S. dollar index higher as sources of pressure on corn and wheat prices today. December corn futures all told 7.5 cents lower, 408.25. March corn down 8.25 cents to 424.75. July corn futures closed at 437.75, down 9.5 cents, Chip.
Gonna have to wait a day for the harvest progress update from USDA with Columbus Day shutting down the federal offices.
Sure. Well, soybean harvest in the U.S. Corn Belt has been uninterrupted, and bean prices have closed lower in 9 of the past 11 sessions as a result. November beans gapped lower in the overnight session, firmed to fill the gap, and then fell to post the first close below $10 since September 10. That was the lowest close also since August 29. Chart watchers expect a drop to test support at the midpoint of the August trading range near 975. Brazil's bean plantings reached 8.2% done, according to Ag Rural. That's about half last year's pace and the slowest since 2020-21. But beneficial rains are expected across much of central Brazil over the next 10 days, allowing bean plantings to accelerate. Sharply lower bean oil futures pulled bean prices to the downside. November beans 9.5 cents lower, 9.96. Jan beans down 9.5, 10.11.5. March beans closed at 10.25.25. That's down 9.75 cents, Chip.
Yeah, December bean meal today was up 20 cents, but December bean oil was down 143 points. That hurt.
Well, December cotton today was 118 points lower at 71.03. And quickly on your livestock, cash cattle trade was higher last week. Boxed beef prices were higher again this morning to help support live cattle. December fat cattle today, 35 cents higher, 187.92.5. Novi feeders, 22.5 lower, 249.57. And December hogs, $1.85 lower, 75.80. Some technical pressure there, feels like, Chip.
Yeah, it sure does. All right, let's bring in Jack Scoville, Price Futures Group. How you doing, Jack?
I'm having a wonderful day. How about you guys?
I'm just fine. Better than what we saw in the corn and bean markets today. What's going on there, man?
Well, I think, first of all, there's no USDA reports today, so we're all left guessing as to what export inspections and crop progress really is. But I think we had a hangover left over from Friday, and I think there are some concerns about demand showing up being quite as strong as people are thinking, especially from China, to kind of keep the market under wraps here as well. So, plus Russia, nobody knows whether Russia is really going to make price increase stick in the wheat market. that spilled over in the corn a little bit as well. So all in all, just kind of a low volume affair, but not a real good reason to buy. And so down we went. I think we'll find some support pretty soon, but obviously not today.
Yeah. Yeah, not today. So I made mention there during the news that, you know, we're not supposed to put too much emphasis on one day's dollar trade, trading the dollar index, but 400-point gain, I mean, that's got to have something to do with it, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah, I forgot to mention that. Certainly it does. And, you know, and what's more important is what the trend is doing in the dollar index, of course, which is actually looking kind of positive here. So
yeah,
new high for the move, and so that's going to keep the market under a little pressure as well.
Yeah, it certainly will. It'll make it a little difficult to generate any upside momentum there. Thanks, Jack. Appreciate it. That's Jack Scoville, Price Futures Group. Coming up next, we've got Pat Von Tersch from the Professional Ag Marketing.
If you're applying a low-rate nitrogen stabilizer, you might be falling for a losing strategy. Low-rate products promise great results, but may lack the potency of higher active ingredient concentrations, so great isn't always what you get. Instead of putting your yield at risk, put your trust in Anvil Nitrogen Stabilizer and Super U Premium Fertilizer from Koch Agronomic Services. Both offer higher active ingredient concentrations imitator brands can't match. See the difference at defendyourn.com.
What's the first thing you do in the morning? For many farmers and ranchers, it's checking weather and market updates. Make AgWeb Daily Newsletter part of your morning routine. Not only bringing you essential news and weather updates, but also covering topics such as smart farming and agriculture's next generation. And each weekday, stay informed and stay ahead with AgWeb Market Weekly. Whether you're at home or in the field, AgWeb Market Weekly keeps you connected and competitive.
Delivered straight to your inbox. Subscribe to both today at agweb.com/newsletters and never miss a beat.
Looking for the best ag knowledge from top-notch industry experts? Join me, Mike Howell, on The Dirt, an economics podcast. From nutrient management to the latest weather, market, and ag trends, The Dirt is your place for farm smart topics to boost your profitability. Get ready to dig into Season 3 of The Dirt Podcast.
Hey, what's up, y'all? I'm Kelly Clarkson, and as the daughter of a school teacher, I know just how important education is. No matter how old you are or your situation, continuing to learn will enrich your life and help remove barriers you didn't even know were there. So much opportunity, y'all. Whether it's a foreign language, history, or a different way to look at things, take some time each day to learn something new. This message is courtesy of the United States Air Force.
Wisconsin soybean farmers are fueling Wisconsin. In 2021, the value of Wisconsin soybeans was $1.61 billion. That fuels our state's economy, communities, and Wisconsin's future. Wisconsin soybean farmers fuel our state, country, and the world while protecting the land and water. Learn how the Wisconsin Soybean Marketing Board and Wisconsin Soybean Association are working hard to fuel our farms and future. Visit wisconsinsoybean.org.
Whether you have a large animal or a small one, the Animal Wellness Center of Buffalo Valley can keep them healthy. With top-notch veterinary care, plus boarding and grooming services, the Animal Wellness Center keeps your pet happy. And they specialize in chiropractic care to keep your large animals moving. Make an appointment by calling 715-926-3836. The patients come first at the Animal Wellness Center of Buffalo Valley, located in the Mondovi Industrial Park, your complete traditional and holistic veterinary care clinic.
Do you suffer from talking on the radio phobia? No problem. Send us a tweet at hashtag AgriTalk.
You know, Davis, sometimes I wish there was tape rolling during the commercial break to catch the conversations that we have. And there are times that I'm glad that it's not rolling, and this was one of those. I think we might have lost Davis over the whole deal.
Good. Right, I'm back great. Now. What happened? Hi, everybody. Welcome back to AgriTalk. We're totally know what
good.
We're doing. Huh?
It's all good, man. You're back. You're back. That's all that matters.
Okay.
That's all that
okay.
matters.
Good.
All right.
What can I do?
Huh? No, nothing. You are absolutely just perfect doing okay. what you're doing.
Stand
all right,
by.
Let's bring in Pat Von Terch, Professional Ag Marketing. How you doing, Pat?
I'm good, thanks. But we all want to know what we missed out on.
just a couple of duck hunting stories there real quick. That's all it was. That's all it was. How's things up there in Southwest Minnesota? Jeez. Up
yeah.
there in Southwest
yeah,
Minnesota.
Yeah, no, things are going well. I guess the case may be for the good portion of the Corn Belt, we've had a wide open harvest up here too, and the pace at which we're working through soybean and now corn harvest is just amazing, and so yeah. it's an incredible testament to today's ability to get this crop out of the ground, but also the long hours and effort that everyone is putting in here. So no breaks in the action and all of that. And harvest is progressing along nicely.
Yeah. You know, normally that would mean that there's a big break in basis and basis gets really ugly. But as far as I can tell, that basis level up in north central, northwest, and in southern Minnesota, a crash like I would expect in basis with harvest progress as quick as it is hasn't happened yet. What's going on?
Absolutely. And I, especially in this area of the world, and Chip, I've traded this market for more years than I care to count these days, but it's amazing how little we've seen as it relates to basis levels widening out here. And it's certainly part of, the investment in on-farm space through the years is part of the reason why, but just the uptick in demand, ethanol and livestock and how much corn and soybeans for that matter, that wants to disappear from this area of the world domestically is certainly part of the deal. But, the last part and probably the most important part, Chip, is that we've just got a lot more variability in production up here this year than other parts of the Corn Belt. And boy, that early, that all that moisture this spring really impacted our planted acres and it's impacted production from there. And then we dried off way too much here in the month of August. And so, we've certainly kind of got the double whammy here and are impacted by production. And we see that in the state by state breakdowns on Friday's report as well.
Yeah. Yeah. We will definitely get to that. That corn crop, when we went through there third week of August, Pat, you could tell that it was in trouble. The bean crop, I thought, okay, it's still got a chance, but it didn't rain from the end of August on. That's got me really concerned about that bean crop. What are you hearing?
Yeah, for sure. We were kind of joking the other day. Someone said, I heard that September was the driest September on record. And I was like, well, it had to at least be tied. It was zero. So
yeah, it was zero.
Getting around that. No, that's exactly right. And the bean yields that we've been hearing, we initially, the early bean yield reports, and this would have been against some of those farms that were planted early planting in April there, were really pretty good, slightly better than expectations. But boy, as we went through harvest there, it just kind of continued to tail off. And so no doubt that last half August, September dryness impacted our productivity up here.
Yeah, shoot. Yeah, the area is going to be corn deficit, isn't it? With all
For sure.
With
There's
all the,
we've seen in a few regions to the south of us, you have to get into northwest Iowa quite a ways before we've seen really any basis indications that all of a supply push. Certainly around here, folks are fighting to try to get full, at least that first elevator or first end user. And so it's going to keep premium levels, basis levels tight here all the way through. Now, one thing about how amazing this market is and how it works. It'll, you know, we'll start to move stuff around a little bit, and maybe the basis levels will equalize more, particularly in the Western Corn Belt. But it's going to take some time.
Yep. Cash market is an amazing animal, Pat. It finds a way. It finds a way to reallocate resources throughout all the end users, and it'll find it again. And when it does, you're exactly right. I would expect that basis pressure that I was expecting to see by now will probably finally develop. Okay.
That's right. Yeah, and there's some there'll be some non-traditional movements. Grain will flow the wrong direction a little in a few cases here to make all that happen, but that'll certainly be the case.
That's right. Okay, takeaways from last Friday's USDA crop production WASDE reports. Anything in particular?
Well, I mean, the emotional observation of taking the corn ending stocks number under 2 billion, barely, is, I think, kind of helps today's market notwithstanding, helps the psyche just a little bit here. But I do appreciate that observation. I mean, we're going to end up with production year over year, surprisingly similar on 4 million less harvested acres. And so that observation of productivity, I think, is important. But I would also just say that, you know, an under 2 billion bushel ending stocks number or a 13% stocks to use ratio, you know, those are comfortable numbers, but you know, we're starting to be on that fine line between needing to pay just a little bit more attention to the next weather concern or forecasted event or China activity or any of the array of things that this market wants to pay attention to when we're looking at internal fundamentals. And so, I think the corn complex, is going to be in a situation where it can be a bit more reactive to any fundamental developments that might come forward here. But we do have to recognize that when we're talking about a 13% stocks to use ratio, that we're talking, more about, selling, rallies or top end of trading ranges and thinking more about how a good marketing plan worked from 2014 to 2019 versus what we saw, you know, the last couple, 3 or 4 years. And so, so that's the reminder, maybe not necessarily a new takeaway, Chip, but certainly worth noting. And then a little bit of the state by state breakdown. We did take some yield out of a couple of those Eastern Corn Belt states and kept both, and kept it a little bit stronger here in Iowa, a couple more bushels in Iowa, kept Minnesota unchanged, which I think is a little bit of a question mark, and same with South Dakota, but that's more of a reflection of the thoughts that we were discussing earlier about some challenges up here in the extreme Northwest Corn Belt.
Yeah. Yep. Okay. What about the balance sheet on soybeans and the stocks to use ratio and the price that we're at now? Does that balance out for you?
Well, soybeans is the tough one, frankly. I mean, we didn't change projected ending stocks at all domestically here, still at 12.5% stocks to use, 550 million projecting ending stocks. But it's the world ending number that is concerning here. In fact, a record projected at 30, just short of 34% stocks to use ratio. And so the soybean complex is the one that, you know, we should be most concerned about, frankly. And it's the one that we're going to keep a real close eye on as it relates to South American production prospects. And so in that 34% projected stocks to use ratio number, Chip, is a forecasted nicely sized South American crop. And why we were able to put as much premium as we did in the soybean complex leading into the first part of the month here was the lack of moisture in the Mato Grosso region of Brazil, which you guys have covered today, but we've definitely put some moisture back into the forecast down there and likely some planting progress to occur. And so the bean complex is certainly a bit more burdensome as it relates to projected ending stocks here. And I tell you, through the years, it's been tough to to flex back into soybeans. We can find some more corn demand with lower prices, but it's tough on soybeans.
It is. It is. No question about that. Yep. Brazil at 169 million metric tons for the 2024-25 marketing year. We're going to talk a little bit more about that. And then let's talk China coming up next.
I'm Tyne Morgan, host of U.S. Farm Report. And more than a host, I'm a journalist, a wife, and a mom of two, raising a family in the heart of rural America. I understand the issues facing agriculture today because I live it every day. I see firsthand how farming and ranching isn't just a job, it's a way of life. Covering America's most important industry is what we do, and it's why U.S. Farm Report has been on the air for nearly 50 years. I invite you to join us every weekend for U.S. Farm Report, a timely, trusted tradition.
Has your child swallowed your medicine, your laundry detergent, your nail polish remover? Call the Poison Helpline. Have you inhaled paint thinner, glue, pesticides? Call the Poison Helpline. Have a question about a dose, a fume, something your kid just drank? Call the Poison Helpline. Poisonings can happen at the home, on the job, or in the great outdoors. Call the Poison Helpline first for fast, free advice from medical professionals. Call 1-800-222-1222 anytime, anywhere. 1-800-222-1222. Save the number, save a life. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
Let's go to the markets page at profarmer.com and check today's closes, where December HRW wheat futures were 14.5 cents lower at 590. December soft red wheat down 13.75 to 585.25. December corn futures 7.5 cents lower at 408.25. March corn down 8.25 cents to 424.75. November soybeans 9.5 cents lower at 9.96. Jan beans also off 9.5 to 10.11.5. December cotton today was 118 points lower at 71.03. On your livestocks, December fat cattle were 35 cents higher at 187.92.5. November feeder futures 22.5 cents lower, 249.57.5. And December lean hog futures 1.85 lower today, 75.80. Visit tryprofarmer.com for more.
Healthcare your way. I'm nurse practitioner Nikki Gillis from Provisions Health of Durand. At Provisions Health, we provide convenient, affordable, and personalized healthcare services to individuals, families, and businesses in and around our community. From in-person or telehealth, simple acute care visits, DOT, and workplace physicals, and affordable lab testing services without a doctor's order, health and wellness is our priority. Visit Provisions Health, 309 3rd Avenue West, Durand, or online at provisions.health.
Well, now, which would you rather have? World-class seed genetics and traits, or seed that's been tested and proven to yield in your area? Well, with Pioneer, you get both, plus the support of a dedicated local team. For the unbeatable combination of elite seed genetics, local knowledge and insights, and rigorous local testing, contact the team at Bowers Seeds and Service, your local authorized Pioneer sales representative serving the Durand area. At Pioneer, our name is our mission, and what's next happens here.
Farmers, now's the time to apply lime to your fields from Lamb Ag Services. Lime reduces soil acidity, improves soil structure, promotes root growth, and improves crop yields. Lamb Ag Services sources lime from area quarries and offers straight or variable rates to match your field's soil needs. When you call Lamb Ag Services, there's no middleman. They answer the phone and do the work on your farm. Call Brian at 715-279-0267 for your lime application needs with Lamb Ag Services.
Here's your Real Country 1430 forecast.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlau. Crisp and cool today as we sit under a mix of sun and clouds as high temperatures reach the low 50s. Winds are pulling out of the northwest and scattered showers are possible this afternoon, but we quickly clear on out and drop cold overnight, allowing for frost by morning. Grandpa's barbecue sauce, made in small batches from Grandpa's original recipe. Get yours now at grandpasbbqshop.com. Currently, it's 45.
Opinions expressed on AgriTalk do not necessarily reflect the views of Farm Journal Broadcasting, affiliate stations, or sponsors. Knowledge is power. We're here to charge your batteries. AgriTalk.
We're in the middle of a conversation with Pat Von Tersch from Professional Ag Marketing. We've covered the supply and demand crop production reports that we got on Friday from USDA as far as it, from a domestic perspective, and just started to get into the global stuff. And you're right, Pat. You know, you look at those global numbers on the carryover on beans, and it's just do you describe them as a burden?
Certainly do. No doubt the soybean, well, record projected ending stocks are a burdensome, no doubt about it. And again, that is contingent upon a favorable production number, you know, coming through out of South America, and we'll still trade weather and all of those things. But we've been building this situation this over the last a year or so, and it just becomes increasingly concerning as we really aren't start to see any relief in terms of where those extra stocks are going to go, frankly. And so, you know, we talk about, you know, usually we can count on China to step up and especially as we get the kind of correction in U.S. values that we've seen here, usually we can count on those folks to step in here. And they too have a burdensome stock situation over their chip, but you also have some real concerns about economic activity over there.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. One of the things that I've been trying to figure out is just how much attention we need to be paying to the news coming out of China with the stimulus efforts and so on. And this feels like another turning point for the U.S.-China relations and what that trade partnership is going to look like going forward, isn't it?
Well, there's a couple of things there, right? The first one is that it seems as though, you know, the more that the Chinese central bank announces that they're going to try to provide different forms of stimulus, it seems to be having, at least today, more of a negative effect as it relates to how our commodities react to that. Perhaps just the Chinese government demonstrating how challenging their situation is over there today. And, you know, there's always more questions than answers, it seems, as it relates to economic or any other information, for that matter, coming out of China. But the fact that the Chinese government is being as aggressive as they are as it relates to invoking or adding some stimulus and also talking about it suggests perhaps that things are a bit more challenging over there than what most market observers would think. And so we have that challenge for sure. And also in times of economic uncertainty, you also get a little bit of a money flow to the US dollar. And so that also, you know, starts to work against you a little bit, obviously, as it relates to being competitive on the export front here. So I think the combination of those two things, you know, starts to create even more of a challenge to build market share or to take off some of this burdensome supply into that market. And then the whole next chapter of the discussion as it relates to, U.S. and China trade policy and the politics involved with all of that is also quite challenging and as uncertain as ever, you know, as we're 3 weeks from our election.
Yeah. Right. Right. All right. Hey, you know what? I got to go back to Brazil here real quickly. Some people are wanting to back away from the expectations of expansion on acres in Brazil this year. Are you in that camp?
Yeah, I would be. I think there'll be less expansion or growth of acres, which would be a normal phenomenon as we see world prices correct here just a little bit. They would do the same thing that we would think about doing, yeah, which is maybe limiting a little bit of reinvestment, but mostly focusing on increased productivity and efficiency on the assets that we control today. So yes, I do think that we should see the rate of increase in production, at least as it relates to acres, slow down there just a little bit. But it is worth observing as we reinvest in existing assets, we do have a tendency to make those more productive as well. And so, yep. Mother Nature has a lot to say about such things. But just like we pointed out earlier, you know, we can be as productive on 4 million less corn acres here in the U.S. With decent weather and improved investment, the same thing can happen in South America.
Okay. All right. Well, here we are. We're halfway through the month of October when we are determining the fall crop insurance price. What do we need to be thinking about there, Pat?
Yeah, you're right. So far, the average price is $4.24 on corn versus the $4.66 spring price, $10.32 on November soybeans versus $11.55 spring price, 9% lower on corn, 11% lower on soybeans. Got a couple weeks of averaging here yet, but I do think it's important as all of us are thinking about our risk management plan and execution that we are finalizing this piece of the puzzle. And so as we settle in, we've got a couple more things now that we can move from the unknown to the known category and a couple big ones. First of all, we're obviously able to lock in what our production numbers are going to be for this year. And then in addition to that, start to figure out what impact your crop insurance plan can have or would have on your risk management plan. And so, you know, as those two become knowns versus unknowns, it's incumbent upon all of us to take some time during a really busy time of the year here and make sure that we're thinking about what needs to happen next. And we are seeing some real nice opportunities from, you know, a basis opportunity like we talked about earlier in this discussion, but also seeing some decent opportunities to manage carry as well. And so would certainly welcome the opportunity to visit with folks about all of that. But there certainly is some things to consider as it relates to basis management and locking in carry and moving more things from the unknown to the known category here and making sure that we have a plan to execute on some of this market volatility that we're seeing today.
Yep. Boy, you're right on the edge of the strategies that you want to be using with and that you're talking about with clients here. Is bean market in particular is a market that you look to sell strength in? Is that kind of the bottom line?
Well, yeah, we just saw it, right? I mean, yeah. We just had a real nice move here on the last weather scare. It'd be pretty rare if it's the first and the last weather scare, right? So there's, and the market has demonstrated its desire to remain reactive to those things. And so, you know, if you have, you know, there's been a lot of beans that have moved to town right off the combine here this fall. You know, we had a nice little rally going into the 1st of October here, and it's obviously sold off a little bit since then. But you know, if you've sold a few beans over the last couple of weeks, maybe this isn't the worst spot to think about a re-ownership strategy. And so, you know, so this, again, this volatility that the markets are offering, Chip, do provide some opportunity. And again, I think it takes a just taking a little bit of time to think through all that, I think is pretty important.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm with you. You know, one of the things that I always enjoyed when I was dealing with marketing strategies on a regular basis was the guy that would take time from the middle of a day in the middle of harvest and say, listen, I've got a checklist that I want to go down through with you just to make sure that I've got everything covered. And those phone calls can be, they can be so, number one, the potential returns from a phone call like that, guys, to somebody like Pat, to just talk through that mid-harvest strategy and to make sure that you're where you want to be, the returns on that can be so valuable. The other thing is you're just making sure that you've got things covered. It's so reassuring to go through that conversation. So pick up the phone, talk to somebody. All right, Pat, before we run out of time, couple of minutes left here. Give me your thought on what's going on this cattle trade.
Yeah, thanks for bringing that up. We've seen 187 or so cash cattle trade here. We had been seeing a pretty positive basis environment here for a while. And that's settled back here some. And I find myself starting to consider, as heavy as these cattle have been, are we now kind of showing the feedlots a little bit of an incentive here to put maybe even more weight on these cattle with margin over feed where they're at and all that stuff. So that'll be interesting to see how that plays out. But would just like to make the observation, more importantly, that this box beef trade, beef demand, still in spite of all of the things that we might be just a little bit concerned about as it relates to economic activity, particularly domestically, we're only down about 1% on production when you consider the heavier weights coupled with some importation of feeder cattle from both Mexico and Canada. And we're still, and then when one considers the amount of beef that's getting imported year over year versus what was an export program not so long ago, we're actually putting 1% or 2% more beef into this domestic market, and boxed beef values are hanging in there real strong. So good testament to protein demand in general, but a cattle complex here that trading at historic levels. So
yeah,
you know, buyer beware.
Buyer beware, and maybe think about getting a price floor in underneath this market. Pat, these conversations are always valuable. Thank you so much, man.
Thank you.
You bet. Pat Von Terse, Professional Ag Marketing. Kerry Artak, Artak Advisory, is up next.
Thinking about adding cover crops? Olson Farms of Mondovi is pleased to announce cover crop planting services this fall. Adding cover crops like winter wheat can improve soil health, build organic matter, control soil erosion, boost crop yields, and increase residue to help combat white mold in soybeans. Receive a $5 per acre credit in crop insurance next year. Olson Farms has cleaned and bin run winter wheat available. Call Christina Olson at 715-495-6104 for your cover crop needs while improving your farm's bottom line. Farmers, it's harvest time, and the last thing you need is downtime while waiting for parts for your equipment. Need custom hydraulic hoses and fittings? See Durand Napa. Need hard-to-find parts? See Durand Napa. Need bulk oil or hydraulic fluid? See Durand Napa. Durand Napa also has filters with low prices throughout the entire year and has specialty tools for your equipment. Keep your equipment working throughout the harvest with Napa Know-How from Durand Napa, Madison Street, Durand.
No one should have to navigate herd health alone. Luckily, you don't have to. A successful operation requires teamwork. Visit bio-vet.com and let us help identify key challenges and offer expert solutions unique to your situation. We evaluate your full herd health plan and make economical recommendations to your operation. Learn more about our team and products for herd health at bio-vet.com.
Innovation, that's BioVet.
What's in a name? Well, if it's OptiCare, you can expect optimum animal health, optimum performance, and optimum care for your livestock. OptiCare is a complete line of beef, swine, dairy, and specialty products, each designed to treat or prevent common animal health problems, enhance growth, and improve performance. OptiCare, their name says it all. See Jerry Bear and Sons of Arkansas for a complete line of OptiCare products, Hubbard Feeds Incorporated products, and the answers that work.
It's the kind of sound you only get with broad access to high-performing genetics and traits, and years of data from extensive testing. Also, retailers can recommend what will work best in your fields. Take some stress out of your season. Talk to your local retail seed expert about Cropland Seed today.
Retirement can be scary, but only if you're not prepared. That's why AARP created thisispretirement.org. Because unless you've already retired, you're in pretirement and you still have time to plan. Learn about retirement savings options, potential tax breaks, and how you can build savings over time. Visit thisispretirement.org for free resources to help you customize your action plan and feel the retirement fear disappear. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
The Scoop Podcast is where we talk about tight supply chains, emerging agronomic challenges, technology tools delivering ROI. I'm Margie Eckelkamp, editor of The Scoop and host of The Scoop Podcast. Join me as I interview leaders from across the ag retail sector. Farmers are working hard for every bushel, and their trusted advisors are by their side. Find the Scoop Podcast wherever you find podcasts so you are up to date on everything ag retail.
What's the first thing you do in the morning? For many farmers and ranchers, it's checking weather and market updates. Make AgWeb Daily Newsletter part of your morning routine, not only bringing you essential news and weather updates, but also covering topics such as smart farming and agriculture's next generation. And each weekday, stay informed and stay ahead with AgWeb Market Weekly. Whether you're at home or in the field, AgWeb Market Weekly keeps you connected and competitive.
Delivered straight to your inbox. Subscribe to both today at agweb.com/newsletters and never miss a beat.
Cancer can feel like something we can't do anything about, but you can. There are screening tests that can catch cancer early when it may be easier to treat. Begin cervical screening at age 25. At 45, start colorectal and breast screening. At 50, discuss lung screening with a doctor. Find resources for free and low-cost screening at cancer.org/get screened. This is a public service message from the American Cancer Society.
Sometimes I just cannot believe all the storms we've gone through here. I can only hope that we'll be able to leave this house to you one day, baby. You're our legacy.
Planning for these disasters will make sure we're safe, and is the best way to protect that legacy.
Protect your legacy. Visit ready.gov/plan for the tools and tips you need to start your emergency preparedness plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Chickens have come home to roost. Find out whose fence they're perched on today on AgriTalk.
Every Monday afternoon, we get a chance to talk with Carrie Artak, Artak Advisory and WickedStocks.com. Carrie, it's good to talk to you again this afternoon. How are you?
I'm doing great, Chip. Thanks for having me again.
You bet. Glad you're here. Don't forget, if you go to artacadvisory.com, that's A-R-T-A-C advisory.com, you can check out what Kerry does on the commodity markets. And if you would like to see what he does on the equity trade, go to wickedstocks.com. He'll get you a free trial at both of those. All right, kick us off with Dease Corn, Kerry. What do you got?
Yeah, December corn. We closed today at 408 1/4. I've covered this in the last few shows because we've been at a critical turning point, a pivot point for the broader corn futures markets. Last week, we had channel resistance around, I think I forgot the exact number last week, is around 421, 422. We need to close above that by a 1% margin. Wasn't to be. And in fact, today's sell-off settled the market below a six-week rising channel bottom. So we've got kind of a double show of weakness, unfortunately, essentially a continuation of this one-year bear trend that is defined at 425 even this week. That rising channel bottom is 423 even. So you've got a 2-cent range above the market to sell into, to set hedges into. And I think this one is like through the rest of the year. I could see Dease 24 corn falling to 379.5. By its expiration, the broader corn futures market could continue south into the mid 340s as we move into next spring. 344 1/4 is a big area on the weekly chart. If, however, we can close above 425 even at the end of this week, and at this moment doesn't look likely, but stranger things have happened. If we can close above 425 even, that actually shifts the entire technical focus to the upside. Recovery then expected to 460 within 1 to 2 months, and as we move into next spring, 505 even would be anticipated. But right now, it is a sell upside pullbacks dynamic, as it has been now for a long time in the broader corn futures market. On to November feeder cattle. November feeder cattle and the broader feeder cattle market threw off a meaningful buy signal about 5 weeks ago above 241.37. We closed today around 249.5. I've got our first objective, at least for the November contract, has been reached, and that is a descending channel top at 250. 13.12. We've been testing it now for the last week. It's been holding. We haven't fallen away from it, but just know that if we're unable to close above 250.12 at the end of this week, this market can ease back to 241.37 by November expiration. And while we're talking November, I need to talk about January as well, which we'll be rolling into in a couple of weeks. January has an identical channel top at 248.47. January is priced a little lower by a couple handles than the November contract. And if January can close above 248.47 at the end of this week, it enters a secondary buy signal that should, over the next, well, possibly by January expiration, yield the upper 260s. When we had the buy signal 5 weeks ago above 241.37, I'd mentioned to subscribers that over the following 3 to 5 months, we could return to long-term resistance in the feeder cattle at 268.25. And I still think that's true. And if January can close this week above 248.47, it actually could reach that 268.25 level by its January expiration, where the broader feeder cattle market could top out well into next year. We've tested that area twice in the last year, and it's held beautifully each time. Downside, 241.37 remains in reach below 250.12. Talking November feeder cattle, 241.37, able to contain broader market selling through the rest of the year and into next spring. And if we were to close below 241.37, that does pivot the market aggressively south as we move into winter, spring, 225 even, then likely within 2 to 3 months, 209.5 in reach as we move into next spring. But we're not in that scenario right now. Right now, I think this looks, it's a bullish market, secondarily so, with a settlement this week above 250.12. And finally, Okay. Stock pick for the week, Microsoft. Yeah. Everybody knows Microsoft, symbol MSFT. We had a buy recommendation on this in August when we were testing a two-year channel bottom. Then was it around 388? We're right around 420 right now. That channel bottom is at 408.25 this week, rising about $2 a week. Solid bottom picking area for Microsoft as we move well into next year. I do think this thing looks like about a 500 and climbing. The channel top, the two-year channel top, is at 500 and rising about $2 a week. So that is our long-term objective. That could be like into the second quarter of next year. Solid 25% move from the low 400 area. On the way up, 436.75 is in reach over the next few weeks. Can contain buying on a monthly basis. And this is for those people who are unable to buy, bottom pick the low 408 area. We might not see that again. If we close above 436.75, that is the next buy signal on strength, where we should then continue on up to that 500 mark within about 2 to 3 months or so. If over the coming weeks we close below that 408.25 level, all bets are off. I would actually expect about 350 within about 2 to 3 months. But right now, very well-defined bull trend in Microsoft, and you can bottom pick away at 408.25, climbing about $2 a week. And that's really all I have, Chip.
Yeah, yeah, okay. Yeah, you know, it's not that long ago that Microsoft was in that 465, 470 range. It was, I mean, the idea of getting back up to that level is, it's not that hard to generate in my mind. So, good stuff.
That's true. Good stuff. Just last July. Yeah. That's right.
That's right. All right, buddy. Thank you. Appreciate it. We'll talk to you next week.
Thank you.
Yep, Terry Artek. Artek Advisory and WickedStocks.com. National Weather Service, 6 to 10-day outlook. Above normal temperatures back in to most of the country. The highest probability of above normal temperatures is Wisconsin, Eastern Iowa, Northern Illinois, Northern Indiana, Ohio, and Michigan. So, boy, it's the odds of it being above normal are pretty good. We've got above normal precipitation expected through most of Minnesota. Southeast Minnesota is the exception. Western Iowa, Nebraska, Kansas, and points to the west of that. Near normal, just call it along the Mississippi River, and below normal expected in the eastern Corn Belt. Real quick on the 8 to 14 day, we've got the above normal temperatures sticking around, and more of the Corn Belt is covered by chances for above normal precipitation. All right, come back tomorrow morning, 10:06 Central, conversation with Pro Farmer editor Brian Grady.
You took the first step and quit smoking, but even former smokers may still be at risk for lung cancer. That's why SaveByTheScan.org wants you to know about a new low-dose CT scan that can detect lung cancer early. It takes only 60 seconds and could save your life. You took the first step, now take the next. Visit SaveByTheScan.org for a simple quiz to see if you're eligible and talk to your doctor about screening. SaveByTheScan.org is brought to you by the American Lung Association's Lung Force Initiative and the Ad Council.
Scammers often try to dupe veterans to steal the VA benefits they've earned. Scammers may try to obtain sensitive information or collect payments over the phone, offer to move assets in order to qualify for pension, insist benefits may be sent directly to a friend or caregiver, or promise to manage benefits or file a claim for you. VA will never charge you for processing a claim, and only VA can determine eligibility. To report suspicious activity, visit va.gov/OIG/hotline.
Point!
Hey, you okay? You don't normally miss those shots.
Ugh, I just haven't been as regular lately, and it's making me feel sluggish.
You should try Metamucil. It's been a game changer for me. Metamucil's plant-based psyllium fiber helps trap and remove the waste that weighs you down.
Ace!
You're moving better than you were last week.
Definitely.
Metamucil keeps you moving. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Learn more at Metamucil.com.